The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is episode 125. I'm Scott.
And I'm Rich.
Okay, we've had a lot of RPG news this past week, thanks to Nintendo Direct, the Sony State of Play, Tokyo Game Show. So we're going to round it all up and geek out about all that shit. We don't have time to catch up today. There's too much news, but we do have a little bit of housekeeping we need to go over. Okay, so first of all, the RPG Club winner has been decided. It came down to three games. It was Breath of Fire 3, Phantasy Star 4, and Disco Elysium. And we have enough votes to decide who the winner is. It's Phantasy Star 4. Yeah, there we go. So this is a pretty retro game. It originally came out on the Sega Genesis. It was nominated by DISA. If you want to hear Rich and I's thoughts on this a little bit more fully, you can go listen to the bonus episode that was released earlier this week. But what are your quick and dirty thoughts on it, Rich?
Everybody knows my love for Phantasy Star. That was one of the Golden Years games that I rage quit and just couldn't do. So yeah, it's exciting that it's actually DISA's pick, like I said, in the bonus content, but I'm excited. Let's try this again. Let's calm my nerves about that. I actually voted for it.
I was about to say, and you voted for it too. So
I did. People are probably like, what?
Self-inflicted wounds.
Exactly.
Hopefully it's fun. I've never played a Phantasy Star game. I don't know what I'm in for at all. I did look up some screenshots this morning and it does look pretty retro, but so I'm kind of going in blind here. So congratulations to DISA and sorry to all the losers. I don't know if that's the right word, but that we plan to start that on Sunday, September 25th. We don't know what the segments will be yet. We need somebody more familiar with the game. We haven't had time to get all that together. But I'm excited.
I just laugh that, you know, Breath of Fire 3 has been nominated every time and is never freaking won.
Breath of Fire 3. Maybe it'll still have its day, though.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. You know, we might still see it.
Yep.
Who knows?
So the game is like 20-ish hours. So I figured it's going to be four segments. So it'll take us about 8 weeks to get through once we start it. And like I said, we're starting a week from today. So.
Yeah.
And related news, we're not going to talk about this for a long time because this is basically why we did the extra episode earlier this week. But we do have a big announcement. If you didn't listen, I encourage you to go and do so. But the TLDR is that, unfortunately, Rich and I are stepping down from the show. We don't know what the future of the show is going to look like, but Bill does plan to try to continue the RPG Club game and continue with his Golden Years reviews, which sounds like a joke, but but yeah, both of us are very sad. We didn't, you know, take that lightly. And if you want to hear more of our full thoughts and feelings, please do go and listen to that extra episode. But do you got anything you want to say here, Rich, about it?
No, we've already talked about it. The other one, It's sad, but it's time. It's time to try something new. Let Bill, you know, get back at it, try some other things, because he, you know, this is his baby. We've just kept it alive. We've been feeding his baby while he's out.
This baby's like 5 years old now.
That's true. The toddler needs to go.
Yeah.
Needs to get a job.
Well, like I said, there's no like concrete reason why we're doing it other than we both were burnt out. It's time for us to move on. It takes a lot of time on the back end to make this show happen. And we're just looking out for our own, you know, quality of life and happiness. But we will both still be around. We'll still be in the Discord. I'll still be doing my Twitch streams. I'm sure both of us will be guest starring on the show in the future, whatever that may look like. Yep. Hopefully this doesn't make anybody too sad, but it is what it is. So with that said, we do plan on continuing all the way through this RPG club. We'll do the review. I'm sure we'll have like a final blowout episode. So Rich and I plan to finish this bad boy strong.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to get into the news?
Yeah, let's do it, because there's a lot of stuff.
There certainly is a lot.
Hear ye, hear ye. Gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
Okay. First off, we're not going to have time to spend a lot of time on any of these stories. So if it starts to feel like a bullet, rapid fire type segment, that's why. But anyway, the first thing I wanted to point out, though, is that during its 28th anniversary live stream, Square Enix announced that the Live Alive remake on Switch has shipped 500,000 units worldwide since its launch on July 22nd. And that is pretty good, because it's a remake of a very niche game, a game that a lot of people have never even heard of, because it never came out of Japan. I know in my own Twitch streams, I had to make a command to where, you know, you type in !! live and it tells you what the hell the game is, because I got tired of answering the question. People would come in and be like, what is this game? But hopefully this bodes well. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some kind of sequel or something. I'm just glad that it turned out to be what seems to be a success, whether or not they do anything with it.
I helped with the sales. I bought a game.
I plan on playing. I've gone through 4 of the scenarios now, and
nice.
It's basically the same game, just prettier and with voice acting. So, but anyway.
Okay, so Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom's Liberty expansion releases next year for PS5, Xbox Series S, and PC. Interesting enough, this game is still alive. It's weird. Now available is also the 1.6 update, which includes a lot of cosmetic items, advertising upcoming Cyberpunk in-game Edger Runners anime that just released on Netflix, which I hear is actually pretty good.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about it. I just know that it was on the main page of the PlayStation the other day.
Yeah. So just so you guys know that there is that new trailer, and there's a new trailer out there for this. Interesting enough, I love the fact that the bonus content, the DLC, is only for the PS5 and the next gen consoles, because we all know how that happened, or how that worked on the old consoles.
Yeah. Didn't they say that they're not going to do any more updates for the last gen, which is kind of crazy, but like, honestly, it probably shouldn't have launched on the PS4 in the first place. So
exactly. Cause that melted some PS5 or PS4s and other stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that sucks that happened. You know, that's what we talked about before in the past. You know, obviously this is a game that keeps on giving. So we'll see how this trailer, or excuse me, this DLC happens, and see how what it releases. Does it give new quality of life to the game? Do people come back to it? Are they more excited about it? We'll see. It's actually, we'll be launching, hold a second here. During today's family, we'll be launching for current gen consoles. Google Stadia and PC will be later available next year. So it's Stadia, still gets stuff.
That's funny. Corey told me he went on Reddit the other day after the patch was done, and everybody was saying the game is like basically fixed, like it works now. But then somebody else told me that they're glad Cyberpunk 2077 did not win the RPG Club. It was one of the nominees because they went and played it and it was still basically unplayable. So who knows what the truth is? I think your knowledge may vary.
It? Yeah. Who nominated it?
Let me look. I have it right here. It was Rob K.
How dare you, Rob K? How dare you?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
That is the only game, like in recent memory in the last 10 years, that is the only game that I've ever taken back to a video game store and said, nope, you need to refund me, please.
I think Corey just wants it to be fixed because I think he was excited about the game. He just wants it to work.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Right. But yeah, that's it, guys. On that note of Cyberpunk, it is a new stuff.
Okay. And so also a new trailer was released for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I would say it was a decent trailer. It introduced new characters. The evil team in this game is Team Star, which is basically a group of people that attend the same academy as you, except for they're like delinquents. They're troublemakers, basically, which is interesting. It was a cool trailer. The most exciting thing to me was at the very end, the musical track that was playing in the trailer started having like the cheers. You remember how in Sword and Shield, the cheering of the crowd was part of the music, kind of?
Oh, yeah. I hated that.
So I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Sorry. Disgusting.
It added to the bombasticness of the battles. So that makes me wonder if we can expect to have really grand battles again, like Sword and Shield, that was one of the best things about Sword and Shield to me. However, they also showed off one of the gym battles, and it did not look that grandiose to me. So who knows what the truth is. We also got a new Pokemon, Croff. It's a giant crab monster, like just massive. So there are crabs in this game. Did you see this trailer?
When did it come out?
It was, oh man, I want to say it was like several weeks ago now. Let me look. Oh,
okay.
September 7th.
I have not seen it. If it was in the last like 6 days, I didn't see anything.
No, wait, we did news last week, didn't we? So no, it would have had to been early this week.
Yeah, I probably didn't see it.
Oh, we were dead. Off last week. That's why.
Yep. That's true.
Okay. Yep.
So I was off and then I was dying.
Right. So. Really, the trailer didn't show a lot new, but it was a decent trailer. I thought we ought to talk about it, but I think that's all we got time for this.
All right. Ubisoft announces a new Assassin's Creed game. It's open world Assassin's Creed set in the feudal Japan with codename Red. Basically, this is the next game in the series. The last one that came out was Valhalla, where you were the Vikings. This one now is called Assassin's Creed Mirage. It's more of an action title, just like the other ones. It's going to set in the open world. If you're a big fan of these, yay for you on these games. I am not a fan of these games. I've tried them. It's just not my thing. Everybody knows my feel on open world stuff. It's just hard for me to do those. I need a direct line. Xenoblade's kind of open world, and that's kind of hurt me a little bit, but I love that those games.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's important to note here that I think basically since Assassin's Creed has been a thing, people have been like, have one set in Japan.
That's true.
It's finally happening.
Yeah.
But it's going to follow more along the lines of Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, like you said. Apparently, it's not going to be based on the stories of the other games. Like, it's going to be a new entry point. I will say I liked Black Flag, but I've never played any of the others. Or rather, I watched somebody play it. Yeah.
Scott the Pirate.
It's Arg. Me. Okay, time for Rich's favorite game to talk about. Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin has shown off another one of their expansions, this time featuring Gilgamesh. It's called Wonder of the Rift. There was some footage of a boss fight against Gilgamesh. They said Jack's name about 1,400 times in the trailer. I watched it. And then, of course, this is coming after the Trial of the Dragon King, which was released in July, which featured fights against the Warrior of Light and Bahamut, I believe. I've heard bad things about the DLC, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, I heard it was not going so well. It's a little weird. Well, my only iteration with Gilgamesh would be Final Fantasy 13-2. Do you remember those fights we had with Gilgamesh and that little
tournament thing? Oh, yeah. It was a super boss. DLC,
it was super boss. And he was funny. Is he going to be funny in this one?
That's a good point, because that would kind of go against the tone of the game, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, this game, to me, does not... I don't know. It doesn't do it for me.
What I had heard about the DLC was the reason people didn't like it was because they basically made it to where it's super hard and you can't really adjust the difficulty, which is one thing that people liked. Some people liked about the main game, because you remember the story coming out that you could basically make it super easy with the difficulty settings.
Yeah.
They took that away for the DLC, which is an odd choice.
Really?
But anyway.
All right, so Square Enix releases Triangle Strategy for PC on October 13th. So it's really interesting seeing that all these Square Enix games are coming on the Switch are starting to now migrate over to PC, which is a really nice thing for people that, you know, wanted to play those on their PC.
Yeah, I think we predicted this too, right?
Yeah, there is a special bonus. Pre-purchase discount and a special bonus bundle option with various day life. They also released specs of it. It looks like it can run on a pretty good size PC, nothing too crazy. Should be okay. Yeah. That's really it, guys. It's nice. Players who pre-purchase the digital standard deluxe edition of Triangle Strategy before October 13th, PC receive a pre-purchase discount of 10% off. Triangle Strategy Deluxe Edition will all be available part of a bundle with various day life on PC via Steam store page.
Yeah, and I think we have a story about various day life, if you're wondering what the hell that is, because I didn't know either.
That's another awesome named Square Enix title.
Yep. So, fits right in.
Yeah, so enjoy that on PC, guys. I haven't finished the game. I'm very far in, but yeah, enjoy.
We're still stuck too. Corey hasn't played it in a while because he hates grinding, and it kind of forces you to grind, unfortunately.
A lot of grinding.
Yep. Okay, so on to the Nintendo Direct. This Nintendo Direct happened earlier this week. I almost missed it because I had a random drug test at work and I was pissed. But I came back in the middle of this first trailer and it was like RPGs galore. Like, Nintendo is the place to be for RPGs these days, I reckon. They started off the trailer or the direct with a trailer for a new Fire Emblem game, which had been leaked previously that there was a new game. It's called Fire Emblem Engage. And they even gave us a release date, January 20th, 2023. From what I remember from the trailer, the main gimmick of this one seems to be that you can summon past Fire Emblem heroes, like Marth, Roy, Ike, Lucina. You can tell just from the trailer that there's at least 12 of them of the past main heroes that you can bring in. It looked a lot more polished than even Three Houses, which didn't look bad. A lot more fluid and dynamic, and it looked like there's still a hub world like Three Houses had. I'm not a fan of the main character's design. I think the red and blue hair looks a little weird. But apparently the plot is something like you've been asleep for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years ago the kingdoms banded together to defeat like a dark evil dragon. I think it looks good, and I know Corey's really excited because he loved Three Houses.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Those games are not really my cup of tea. I've tried them. They're just not my... I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
It'll be a pre-order for me. Corey's going to be jumping...
Get you that steelbook.
Yeah, exactly. If there is one. If there is one, there better be one.
There won't be. It'll be available only in UK.
By the way, I have a complaint about steelbooks later, but we'll get there.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I'm excited. All right. So Rune Factory series grows larger with the Rune Factory 3 special gets released. And then just out of nowhere, at the end of that whole Rune Factory 3 announcement special, they announced that there's going to be a new Rune Factory. So Rune Factory 6, I think, is what it is. Definitely... This is a very large series that's been going on for a very long time. what did they say? It was like 20 years in that trailer. It was like 20 years for the last time that came out. So yeah, looking forward to this. I've never played them, so we'll see what it looks like. But this is one of your, I'd have to say, looks just like the Harvestella game. It is going to be.
So this is the beginning of a trend in this, right? Lots of RPGs and also lots of farming sims.
Yay.
Which, you know, there's a mixture where it's like it's got RPG elements and combat, but that you still got to maintain your farm. But I know people like these games and I know people like their farming sims. It's just not for us, really.
No, Rune Factory 3 released in Europe and the DC in 2020 or 2009. And then in Japan, October 20, 2009 in Japan, and then November 2010 in North America, and then 2011 in Europe. So that game came out a long time ago. So that's going to be nice. Looks like they're using the live 2D technology to bring some of these moments to life in this game. So they polished it. I'm seeing a lot more DS games starting, like big popular series DS games starting to get revived on the Switch.
Which is good, because, you know, we don't have a DS anymore. So.
Stupid them shutting that thing down. So if you're interested in that, heads up, guys, you got some new Rune Factory stuff coming out.
Yes. Okay. Another series that I don't think neither of us are very familiar with, but is popular. We got a new Atelier, not sure how to say it, game announced. This is Atelier Ryza 3, Alchemist of the End and the Secret Key, which sounds like somebody, you know, had a random word generator.
Just threw it together.
Yeah, that is the crazy title. But it's coming out on February 24th, 2023. It had some serious Genshin Impact vibes that's what I gathered from the trailer. I know we got at least a couple people in our community that like these games, so exciting for them. But I don't really have anything else to say about it. It didn't really grab my attention. What about you?
No, I do have one of them on my Switch. I think I got the fifth one is. I'm not sure. I got it on sale. I played it for a good 5 minutes. It's all text is English. The voice acting is in Japanese.
Oh,
I'm not a fan of that. No, yeah. There's no option that I saw. I'm not a fan of those. I have to turn the voice acting off. Mm-hmm. But it looks interesting. We'll see.
Yep.
Front Mission First Remake releases November. Front Mission 2 releases the 23rd. And then Front Mission 3 is in the future. So if you guys are a big fan of the Front Mission series, we had that announcement probably a good month or so ago, maybe 2 months. That Front Mission was coming out. Now they've got an update on that when those are coming. So the first Front Mission game remake is in November. So you have that opportunity to play those. Those were big games that were in the PlayStation 1 era of, what would you say? Those are SRTs?
Yeah. Which we know so Corey loves.
Exactly.
Which I was surprised by. I know I talked about this when this was revealed, but when the Nintendo Direct happened that announced this remake, Corey was like, oh, hell yeah. And I was just like, what? You know what Front Mission is? He was like, yeah, I played it all the time when I was a kid. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. How did I not know that?
So that what's really funny is like there's more coming. So they were doing all of them. At first, it was only the first one and two. So I don't know where they decided to pull the third one out of. So yeah. They've got a lot of stuff that they've done. They preserved a lot of the mature story that it had on there. But they've revamped a lot of things, updated it, you know, making it all, you know, for the Switch. So if you're excited for that, heads up, your first one drops in November and you got plenty of time in 2023.
Yes.
So I'm so excited for this one. Just, I know. That's why I give it to you. I can't believe. So they announced Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion launches December 13th. We have a lot of it gives you more details on the characters, combat, the summons, updated to the DMV stuff.
DMV.
Not DMV. What is that what it's called?
DMW.
DMW. Sorry. Again, flu brain. I can't believe we called it the DMV. Yes, the DMV, guys. That's all. I'm just going to call it that from now on. So that was revealed. you're going to see a lot of changes. It's going to look exciting. I'm still not a fan of the voice actor for Zach, but not a lot of people are. But Scott,
it's just different.
Complaint. Yeah, it's different. But you have a complaint about this.
So they announced this week that if you pre-order the game, A, you get some materia as like a pre-order digital bonus that doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But they also said if you pre-order it, you get a steelbook. And so I was like, I was already going to buy the game anyway, but I'm like, oh, I better get that pre-order in. They said it would be on Amazon and Best Buy and other retailers too. But then you go to the pre-order the thing and the actual shop pages don't say anything about the steelbook. You can't, there's nothing on there about them. So I'm like, what the hell? Am I going to get the steelbook or not? What's the deal here?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's just exciting that, you know, this is getting announced. We got a release date. It's coming. Slap in the face that you don't get a steelbook, but it is what it is.
I will say this could be in my head, but I think the game visually looked better than that first trailer that we got for it.
I think so.
Yeah. So they've done some polishing there. The thing with the DMW that Rich was talking about, it doesn't completely pause combat whenever, you know, you get two matching numbers to see if you get that third one.
But I love that.
Really? See, I think it was quite disruptive. So.
Nope. I thought it was part of the experience.
You can also skip the cutscenes that come up when the DMW triggers them.
Why would you do that?
Well, if you've seen them already. And yeah, I'm thinking this is looking to be it's looking like it's going to be a good remake. And as far as I can tell, for better or for worse, they're being pretty faithful to the story of the game. It's like shot for shot, line for line, just new voice actors. But yeah, I don't know if I'll be playing this with Corey or if I'll end up streaming it, but I'm definitely going to play it. And I know you will too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, another RPG that was announced during the Direct. Romancing Saga Minstrel Song Remastered. That's coming out, and it's going to launch on December 1st. Rich, what's the saga?
No saga.
So, I don't know much about Romancing Saga. I know there's at least one Romancing Saga that's supposed to be really good. It's like, has the word blood in its title, but I don't know anything about Minstrel Song. It's kind of going to come to Switch, PS4, PS5, PC via Steam, and also mobile. You got any thoughts on this outside of just the facts?
Nope. Yep. Not a single thought.
Yep. Me either. But congrats to the Saga fans.
This one was interesting. Just out of nowhere.
This is one of the biggest things that happened. Yeah.
Yes. Octopath Traveler 2 was announced for PlayStation 5, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC. And it's actually releasing in February.
Right.
So that is interesting. Nobody knew that was coming.
Yeah, kind of blown away by that announcement. It looks like maybe some of the main complaints from the first game have been addressed. There was footage of your characters talking to each other, which is apparently a big deal. Yeah. That was like the main complaint I heard about the first game, is it doesn't really feel like any of the stories actually connect because your characters just don't interact really. You haven't finished it, but you have played a healthy amount of Octopath, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So how do you feel about this?
I mean, this is exciting. There is going to be some special editions and stuff that I'm not going to get or anything, but it looks good. I'm excited for it. Looks like they've done some updates to it. Yeah. I feel like this new style of gaming that they have created with this 2D, HD 2D stuff is going really well.
Yep. I do wonder / worry, though, if people will get tired of it, because they really are starting to be a lot of them now. So
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But yeah, congrats to Octopath fans. I know a lot of our community is really excited. Maybe I'll actually pick this one up. Okay, speaking of farming sims, they actually released a demo of Harvestella on the Switch. As you may have heard us talk about earlier, Harvestella is a farming sim mixed with an RPG. It looks very polished and well put together, almost to the point to where my interest is piqued, but I know I just won't enjoy the farming part of it. I know Colin played the demo and he said he was not impressed. So, but I don't think he was excited for the game in the first place. He didn't say it was bad. He was just like, it didn't sell me, basically. But
I don't know. Maybe it'll be Starry Sims.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can go and play the demo now. Also worth noting is that Square Enix has been releasing a lot of demos, period, lately. So that's nice. So if you want to get in on some of the demo action, you can do it. And that's it.
So this just another blown away deal. Tales of Symphonia remaster arrives early 2023 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. So apparently this game is one of the best Tales games out there, I hear. Originally released on the GameCube, I thought.
Yep, you're right. I was... that's the first Tales game I'd ever heard of, and it's the one I always heard talked about until I got like really into RPGs. It's supposed to be good. I do worry the graphics may have aged a little bit too much for Corey to enjoy, because as we know, he loved Tales of Arise.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere, and people, I even remember somebody said, please let there be a Tales of Symphonia remaster announced today. And I don't think that had been leaked at all, to my knowledge. So I thought that was like, wow, get that man like a lottery ticket or something.
Yeah. It's going to have HD visual enhancements, gameplay improvement, new features. It will be 30 FPS on all platforms. So, you know, it talks about the Tales series has seen a lot of success. Especially the most recent Tales game, Tales of Arise, reaching 2 million copies sold in late April. On the other hand, the market for the Tales game on the mobile, such as Tales of Crestria and Tales of Luminaria, shutting down this year. Those mobile games don't last very long. I don't know why we keep doing them. So, yeah, look forward to that, guys.
Yeah, I'll be picking it up and playing it, probably, even if it's not with Corey. Okay, so next on the RPG hit list, Various Daylife is coming to Nintendo Switch, PC, and PS4. Apparently, it was originally a mobile game by the same people that brought us Triangle Strategy and Bravely Default, if you can't tell by the ridiculous title and the style of the logo. But apparently, this was already on mobile, and did we ever talk about it? Or, like, I don't remember this game.
Nope, I don't think we ever did.
Yeah. So let's see. It's on Switch and PC now, and it's coming to PS4 on September 16th. I'm reading from the article. Various Daylife is an everyday life adventure RPG that was developed by Doki Doki Grooveworks, who previously developed Valkyrie Anatomia: The Origin for mobile devices. And it looked like it was a mixture of an RPG and, again, not a farming sim, but just like a life sim. Character growth through everyday work, overcome dungeons with skill management, innovative battle system, the three CSHAs. What I saw did not pique my interest. What about you?
No, not at all. The name just threw me completely off. I was like, this is stupid. And then I saw the trailer stuff. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Go home, guys.
But it was worth noting. And finally, the big thing, of course, they closed the Direct with this. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel. We got the title for it. It's called The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. And it is releasing on May 12th, 2023. It's really exciting to finally have the title and a concrete release date. However, I will say the teaser that they showed gave us almost nothing that we didn't already know, other than the title and the release date. The one thing that stood out was, you know, Link skydiving and then lands on some kind of metal bird contraption. It looks like that's some kind of glider or flying thing, which is cool. But that was it. Otherwise, it was footage of him like falling and climbing, which we already knew that was going to be a big thing in this game. So,
I predict one thing about this game for you, Scott.
What's that?
The release date will be pushed back.
But they've already pushed it back.
It will happen again. You know this. I bet it will get pushed back another month.
Yeah. And the thing is, we've basically not been given any nothing new on the story of the game since its initial reveal, really.
Nope.
So it's going to be interesting seeing what's going on there. We also got the box art and all that. It's beautiful. However, worth noting is that it was heavily rumored that we were going to get news of a Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD remastered ported over to the Switch in this Direct, and that did not happen. And I'm a sad Scott.
Oh, well, it happens.
Wind Waker is my favorite Zelda and also like my second favorite game of all time. So that was disappointing. I really want to play Wind Waker on Switch. But anyway, that's it for RPG news from the Nintendo Direct. However, Sony also had a State of Play that was fairly RPG heavy, as well as Tokyo Game Show happened. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will cover those things.
Hey folks, my name is Brett and I'm one of the hosts of Skeleton House, an audio-only Let's Play podcast where my two friends Jess...
What is happening? Oh my god!
...and Steve...
Even he looks spooked.
...play through video games, and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Also, we have a cat. Come check us out at skeletonhouse.buzzsprout.com or look up Skeleton House on your favorite podcast app. Or your least favorite podcast app. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
Okay, we are back. And we're ready to talk Sony State of Play. So one of the main things that came out of this State of... By the way, did you watch it, Rich?
I completely missed it.
Okay.
I did realize it was happening.
Yeah. It was... for me, it was a bit of a letdown. But I know a lot of people thought it was great. So don't let my opinion sway you. But there was a Yakuza news blowout. Yakuza, they're really cranking these games out now. They're apparently a lot of the series is really good. First off, apparently they're not calling it Yakuza anymore. From now on, the series is going to be called Like a Dragon. You know, Yakuza 7 was subtitled Yakuza Like a Dragon. So they're going to continue the trend of Ichiban, the main character of that game, being the new star of the series. But anyway, so Like a Dragon Ishin is a remake that it's going to launch on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC on February 21st, 2023. And this, let's see, what was the original game on? I should have researched this more. It had characters from Yakuza 1 through 5. And I think the whole idea was that it was kind of like a tale of feudal Japan, but different Yakuza characters, almost like a stage play. We're playing characters from these stories. Let's see. There was another Samurai spinoff game, and originally it was on the PS3, apparently, which is interesting to remake a PS3 game. But
I mean, they did it with The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's true.
Three times.
Yeah, it's on Unreal Engine 4 now. There are four killer combat styles. And yeah, it just looks like a Yakuza game set in feudal Japan. So I know a couple people that are excited about that. Also, more Yakuza news. Like I said, they did show the new Yakuza game. It's called Like a Dragon 8, which is just strange to me. It's just like the series is called this now because they just appended an 8 to it.
Yeah. Just do this now. It's fine. Nobody will notice.
So it's a new game. It's coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC in 2024. As I mentioned earlier, Ichiban is still the main character. It looks like it's going to maintain the RPG turn-based style battle system from the first game, or the first Like a Dragon game, which is, I know a lot of people, it's very divisive for, but I know a lot of people really love it. And I think that's why they're having these other spinoff games to satisfy those people with the, who prefer the old, more action based combat. It looks like Kiryu, the main protagonist of Yakuza 1 through 6, will also be in the game. Okay, so I'm reading this article. Apparently, they're both going to be main characters this time. Interesting. So that looks cool to me. I'm going to play one of these games one day. Unfortunately, Yakuza 7 did not win the RPG Club this time. But I'll find an excuse eventually. Finally, more Yakuza news. Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name, was unveiled for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, PC, and it will launch in 2023. So that's an interesting title. I got kind of confused in when I was watching this state of play, because I'm not an expert on the Yakuza series, and it wasn't even clear to me that they were all Yakuza games until later. There's a lot of like mixing up in there. It's going to be a side story to Like a Dragon, and it's going to focus on what Kiryu did after the events of Yakuza 6, but before Yakuza 7. So it's going to be like kind of like a side story kind of deal. And I guess maybe this is how they're going to reintroduce Kiryu into the story of Like a Dragon.
Interesting.
It looked cool to me. Nice graphics and all that. But again, it's sort of lost on me. Do you have anything to say about all this Yakuza stuff?
I have no knowledge of Yakuza games, so I don't know anything. I know they're a big series all over the place, so I know a lot of people love them. So congrats, guys. You get some new content.
Yes. And I think part of the reason why I was getting mixed up will be discussed with this next story.
So Team Ninja and Sony announced Rise of the Ronin as a PS5 console exclusive coming 2024. So basically this is Fumikio Yoshida, who is also working on the upcoming Hulong Fallen Dynasty, basically talked about this. Team Ninja is a very well-known company that do a lot of these, Japanese games. There's a lot of stuff to it. I'm just looking at screenshots of it. What was that one game that came out everybody like really, really loved that was Japanese? Ghost of Tsushima?
Yes.
Okay. This kind of looks like that.
Yeah. It looks like I don't want to say a knockoff because I feel like that's discrediting it, but it looks like the same style of game. And correct. Team Ninja is kind of renowned for their action-based combat.
Correct.
It looked good. I didn't play Ghost of Tsushima, so this one didn't really capture me either. But as you can see, there was a lot of Japan-based stuff going on in this the state of play, which is why I was getting mixed up on games.
Yeah, I would be able to follow it. I'd be confused.
Yep. But anyway. Finally, Rich, do you remember that game Project Eve that got revealed several months back?
Yeah, the one that we all like were hoping was Parasite Eve.
Yeah, it confused me because it mentioned Eve and the monsters looked Parasite Eve-esque. Anyway, they've changed the name. It's called Stellar Blade now, and it's coming to PS5 in 2023, which is good because I'm tired of all these games also coming out on PS4. I watched the trailer. It looks like a Bayonetta and Astral Chain had like a baby to me. I know some people are really excited for it. I think this game stands a good chance to be a banger from what I could tell. I'll see what people say about it with previews and stuff before I order it or whatever. But yeah, should watch this later to see if it grabs you at all.
Well, I'm looking at the screenshots. It does look interesting. So yeah, maybe it might grab me.
I know our listener, Angry Ass Black Dude, was super excited. Like he said, this was better than anything Nintendo showed in the direct. So,
oh, easy killer.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but yep. Okay, so that's about it for RPG related stuff that we got from the state of play. But there have been several other news stories since then, most of them from TGS. I mentioned earlier that Square Enix has released a demo, or has been releasing demos. They've released a demo for Valkyrie Elysium, and that happened on September 15th. And I think I heard a couple of people said they liked what they saw from the people who played it.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Yeah. Let's see. The game is actually coming on November 11th to PS4 and PS5. And like we previously mentioned, it's also coming with a remaster of the first Valkyrie game that was on the PS1 and then the PSP if you pre-order it or some shit like that. I don't think I'm going to pick this up, but I strangely might play the remaster. I'm more interested in that. You got anything else about that?
No, I didn't really play these games, so I don't know much about them. I know they're loved by a lot of people, so good for you guys.
And I think you might feel different about this next story.
I do. So Star Ocean, guys, Star Ocean, the Divine Force will be getting a demo September 20th for PS5, 4, Xbox X and S, Xbox One. It revealed at the TGS the new playable characters. So I'm just taking a little look at it here to make sure. I try to avoid the Star Ocean stuff because I don't want to get too spoiled on those. Mm-hmm. I really like the series. So it highlighted a few other things. Playable character, blue-haired woman named Marilee L. Kenny, which if you are a very well-known Star Ocean player, the last name Kenny should jump out to you. So see,
that doesn't mean anything to me. So
the name Kenny's all over the place in the series. So
okay.
Yeah, go enjoy. So this one here is going to be a day one purchase for me. I think I've got it pre-ordered at various places. I'm excited for it.
More than one pre-order?
What do you mean?
You said you had it at various places.
Oh, I have it kind of pre-ordered a little bit on my PC. I also have it on my PlayStation. I haven't decided if I'm going to do both of them. I am notorious for that because you know what? I want to be mobile. But since I have that new backbone thing for my phone, I may not have to worry about that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty nice.
Are you going to play the demo?
No. I'm one of those guys that don't play demos.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to be spoiled with anything. I'd rather go into the game fully loaded, just done, ready to go. Because if I play it, I'll be like, either I won't like it or something will bug me. So I just avoid it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I feel the same way generally. I do think it's been announced that the progress will carry over from the demo, which is nice. And I think most of these demos we talked about today, that's the case. So if you're interested, but I understand why you wouldn't.
I do like though that a lot of these places are putting these, when you play the demo, the progress transfers over. I do like that. Yes. That's a nice little feature.
Okay. And finally, I think this just was announced yesterday.
Yeah.
But Konami has been rumored. They said that they're at TGS. They're going to announce something about one of their long, legendary franchises. And people were speculating like, what does that mean? Metal Gear? Does that mean Silent Hill? No, it's Suikoden. We got a Suikoden 1 and 2 HD remaster coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC in 2023. I know that Suikoden is a kind of a beloved series that kind of fell by the wayside as time went on, and a lot of people love these games. So I know people are really excited about this. And honestly, I could see myself picking this up and playing them too, perhaps.
Came out of nowhere, though.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was really expecting that. Also, I kind of feel bad now for the Ayuden Chronicles people, because you know that was supposed to be the spiritual successor.
That is awesome. They were like, "Oh yeah, hold my beer."
I mean, this isn't screw a new your game, so hopefully it doesn't affect them that much. What do you think about this?
I never played them. I'm interested in it, though, because I do remember seeing a lot of people say this is a very top-notch game. So, yeah, let's try it.
Yep. Okay. I also want to – I'm not going to go into detail, but I do want to mention one more story, and that apparently they – you know, the Mega Man Battle Network collection that they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they are going to add online play to that, which is unexpected and a nice feature. And also the main menu of the game is going to act just like the little Navi devices do in the Battle Network games. I thought that was cool. Huh. But that's all I got to say on that. Just wanted to throw that in there. And that's all our news. Whew. That was a lot of news. We did a good job clipping through it, though.
We did.
Yep. Okay. But we do need to go over the RPG releases. On September 15th, we have Absolute Tactics, Daughters of Mercy, that came to Switch and PC. On the 16th, of course, Various Daylife came to PS4. On September 20th, Jack Move came to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. On the 21st, PC owners got The Outbound Ghost. On the 22nd was No Place for Bravery on Switch and PC. Also the 22nd was Dio Field Chronicle, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And finally, Potion Permit, also on the 22nd, came to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. I feel like talk about Dio Field Chronicle has just died. Like, it's coming out to no fanfare.
Yeah, nobody really liked it.
Was there a demo or something that turned people
off?
There
was. Yeah, there was a demo that came out and people were like, "Man, this ain't so great."
Oh, no. If listeners, please feel free to write in about the Field Chronicle if you feel differently.
Yes. All right. So the RPG is releasing the coming week. The Legend of Heroes Trials from Zero. That is PS4, Switch, PC, September 27th. I have that one pre-ordered. Sure. Valkyrie Elysium, PS5, PS4, September 29th. Valkyrie Profile Lilith, PS5, PS4, September 29th. And Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteousness, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, September 29th. So that is all that is coming out in the next couple weeks.
It's a good time to be an RPG fan, Rich.
It is. Very much so.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our outro now. Okay, that was a remix of the Breath of the Wild main theme. It's the DJ Joe remix by D-Joe on YouTube. I'm sure you could find it based on that. So that was a shit ton of news. And like I said, RPG fans are eating good. But what about next week? Listeners, I promise I will do my very best to get the Final Fantasy 13 review planned for next week. I'm hoping we'll keep it to two parts. I think Rich and I talked about it. Like, we really don't want to go over every agonizing detail of the story again.
Yep.
To be honest, you know, one of the worst parts about doing this show is planning the reviews. It's very time consuming and difficult. So
yeah, it's very daunting. Like, we were supposed to do the Xenoblade stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
that one's a lot.
So we'll do the FF13 review for sure. And then we'll also do the review of Phantasy Star 4. And after that, I'm sure we'll have like a final, not goodbye, but like ending episode for me and Rich.
We'll cry together.
Yeah. And I know Bill wants to review some of the outstanding games that we haven't gotten around to yet, like Zelda 2 and Terranigma. There's another one too, forgetting.
Oh, yeah.
As for the RPG Club, one more reminder, we do have a winner. It is Phantasy Star 4, and we're going to start that club on Sunday, September 25th, a week from today as of this recording. And keep an eye on our Twitter and Discord if you would like to know like what the checkpoints are. We don't even know yet. So launching into our plugs, please rate and review the show. Despite Rich and I's absence, the show will continue and you could help us and Bill out by rating and reviewing the show. It's really appreciated on whatever your podcast service may be. Also, tell your friends that we got a big backlog of episodes to listen to.
Yeah, we do. One of the great ways to support the show, guys, again, we want to say thank you guys for that. The tremendous times you guys helped us in the last couple of years. Patreon was a great way to support the show. You get early episode access, ad-free episodes, extra reviews, RPG Club, and many, many more. You can find that at patreon.com/RPG After Years.
And like we said, Bill is going to restructure that, but that sounds like the RPG Club will continue. As for Twitch, you can find us streaming live, usually at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, twitch.tv/RPG After Years. That was not the case today because we didn't want the news to be public just yet. Yep. If you would like to ask some questions or leave some feedback, you can email us rpgafteryears@gmail.com.
You can talk to us at Discord. The link can be found in our show notes or pinned tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'll add that please join the Discord because that's where the community is at. We hope the community continues for years to come. As for the Twitter, you can find it at RPG Years, and you can find me, if you want to reach out personally, at the Scott Spot.
You can find me at HailBlue1569.
Okay, and that's going to be it for today. You know, Rich and I are, we feel bittersweet about all this, but like we said, we're going to finish strong. So you can tune in next week for episode 126, in which we will go back to the worlds of Pulse and Cocoon to get that review kicked off for Final Fantasy 13. Until then, I'm Scott.
And I'm Rich.
We'll catch you guys next time for more of the RPG After Years. Bye.
Bye.